Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love. What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free, starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today. Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, the Catholic book blogger. Today with us, we have David Williams, who was received into the Catholic Church along with his wife and children in 2010. And in 2011, David and his wife, Kendall, founded Devout Heart Press and Devout Life Resources, LLC, to publish books and materials to build up and edify the domestic church. In 2015, David and Kendall also founded the Institute of the Holy Doctors, an undergraduate liberal arts institute, helping Catholics to learn how to think with the mind of the Church and love with the heart of Christ. David is a former Catholic school principal, dean of students, and religion teacher. He's spoken at parish missions and Lenten retreats, along with homeschool and men's conferences. He's a frequent guest on St. Joseph Radio in St. Charles, Missouri, and Covenant Network Catholic Radio in St. Louis. And today, we're going to be talking about this awesome product he has called Saint Cards. Welcome to the show, David.
Thanks so much, Pete. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. So I guess the place to start is to ask, how did you develop Saint Cards?
Well, this has been a long time coming. In fact, just I would say a couple weeks after coming into the church, very quickly realized that other than the patron saint name that I chose at confirmation, which was Saint Francis de Sales, and then Saint Augustine of Hippo, which as a Protestant I knew as Saint Augustine, come to find out that even the saint that I was familiar with, I had to change the pronunciation of, right? So I knew two saints, right? And so for whatever reason, just felt a strong draw to get to know these men and women that had come before us in the faith. I've always been interested in history, and you know, if I have a spot of free time, I'm always trying to crack open a history book and look through it. And so I was just fascinated with the saints from the start. And so I ordered as many holy cards as I could get my hands on, and they all flew in and opened up the packages. And they're all, I mean, literally hundreds of them just spread out all over the table. And I realized, I don't know how I'm going to memorize all this or get to know these saints. And so that really is when the Saint Cards Project began, which was back in the summer of 2010. And so really for the last, well, from 2010 to 2018, we've been working on this this project, and so as of April this past year, finally launched it into the Catholic marketplace. So it's been a long time coming. I feel like, in a way, it's kind of like a doctoral dissertation, except I don't get any credit for it.
There you go. So I played it myself. It's a great game. Were you a CCG gamer before developing this, or did this just happen as the development occurred?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've always been a gamer, not beyond the chess and checkers, right, into a lot of the European board games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of you probably played Settlers of Catan or Ticket to Ride, so all of those. And then, of course, if you've got a game that takes hours and hours to play, it's got some battle in it and all that, I'm all about it. But collectible card games is something that I have been interested in, although I haven't really didn't really do a whole lot of dabbling into in my youth. But as I became a Catholic, you know, we had four young kids at the time, and so my wife started to see all the things that I was learning with developing this new system for myself, and she very wisely said, you know, David, it's great that you're learning all this about the saints. But don't you think it'd be kind of cool to make some sort of a collectible, you know, card game or, you know, set of cards or whatever it may be that could help, you know, our kids learn about the faith as well. And so really it was just that's really where the idea blossomed, was just trying to put something together for my own children. Mm-hmm. They love collecting. And, you know, I mean, of course, you get baseball cards or hockey cards or whatever it is to kids. I mean, they love to collect those things. And so we thought, well, hey, let's replace that desire with some way to, you know, collect the saints. And so it kind of took off within our home. So it was piloted in our home probably 7 years ago. And so it's neat to see the kids, and, you know, as they get older, continue to come back and say, hey, Daddy, when are you making the next one? I want some more.
So what age group is the game aimed at?
Well, we've seen as young as 3 or 4 year olds benefit from the games. I mean, of course, as soon as they're able to hold something, you could probably start then. But we find that, you know, color recognition, number recognition, when you're at the age of 3, 4, 5 years old and you're starting to put the pieces together with shapes and colors and numbers, that's a really good age to start with. But we also know that there are plenty of adults that once they get the kids put to bed and they get a glass of wine, will sit and play Saint cards through the night and enjoy it. So we kind of cover, I like to say, 4 to 104. That's kind of the age range that we cover.
So it's the gameplay is very elegant, and there's different modes, I guess you'd say, to play it based on age. Can you explain the different types of gameplay to us?
Yeah, sure. Like, so on each Saint card, there's anywhere from, you know, 10 to, in some cases, 25 pieces of information that's embedded on the card and either hidden in through symbols or colors or numbers. And so each of the facts on the card that you use to play the game actually has historical significance. It's actually a true fact about that saint. And the idea behind Saint cards is then that's, you know, kind of your first conversation in getting to know a person. So if you imagine, like, after Mass, let's say you're in the vestibule of the narthex afterwards, and you see somebody that you've never met before and you go over to them, chances are in that conversation, you know, it might last 5 minutes, if that you're going to ask about, you know, what their name is, you know, where they're from, maybe what they do for a living. But you're going to gather some basic facts about them, find out, why they're visiting or so on and so forth. And that's really the design of Saint cards. It's not meant to be a, you know, all-encompassing hagiographical tool where you, you know, learn every single story about every single saint. But it's that conversation starter that allows for you to not only get to know their name, but where they were from, what centuries they lived in, whether or not they were religious or a virgin or a martyr. And then there's some information on their key patronages as well. So the idea is that we are stimulating interest, right? We're at mm-hmm. least getting that first conversation out of the way so that you can go and say, all right, I want to get to know this person more. There's something about him, there's something about her that I feel really drawn to, and I want to get to know this saint. And that's really the what we seek to do is just like we did with our kids. We want them to get to know them, to be familiar with them, with the hope that they develop these devotions and these relationships as they're growing up in our home. So that, yeah, when it comes time for confirmation, they know exactly who they want to choose for the confirmation saint. And when they're looking at their plan of life and they are trying to discern their vocation, you know, what saints carved a pathway of holiness that really I feel drawn to as well. And so the whole heart behind this project is to help folks not only discern their vocation by getting to know the saints, but then also having those brothers and sisters with them to lead them and guide them on this journey of faith so that we can all meet them face to face in heaven someday. So it's a big task, but it's a lot of fun we're having along the way.
So this kind of leads me into another question that tends to happen in the middle of interviews. How do you go about determining, and we'll get into the details of each of the main set and the expansions as we go along, but how do you go about determining which saints you want to use? I mean, there's, you know, there's an endless pool to choose from here.
There really is. And the funny thing is that not even the church, in all of her wisdom, knows how many saints she has beatified or canonized. I don't know. they estimate over 10,000, but we don't actually have that that exact number. But it's definitely enough to work with. So to start with, like in our base set as an example, we have 106 saints. We go after the ones to start off with that almost everybody knows, right? The apostles. We got Saint Cecilia. We've got Saint Gianna. So we've got, you know, each of the centuries, 1st through 20th, they're addressed. So you would find in the base set a lot of recognizable saints. It's an opportunity, you know, for those history buffs or those saint lovers out there, they're going to recognize quite a few in there. But then there's also some ones that, you know, perhaps you haven't gotten to know, Saint John of Sahagun or Saint Belina or Saint Etheldreda. And so some obscure saints are also included in there to kind of, you know, allow for the learner to, or the player of the game, I should say, to have some saints that they recognize and they can perhaps, you know, get some fine details on. But then also, a good 30 to 40% of the base set is filled with saints that most folks are getting to know for the very first time. So how do we determine that? We like to sprinkle in, as many popular saints as we can to make sure that we're not overwhelming the player with everybody new. Much the same way that if you go into the vestibule after Mass, you're going to see folks that you know, and that's going to bring a sense of comfort. But then there's other folks that you don't know, and that's kind of what makes that vestibule environment lively after Mass, right, is to have a mix of both. So that's mm-hmm. what we try to do with each set.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to break down the base set and the different possibilities for expansions with saint cards. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
During the season of Lent, Catholics and other Christians frequently give up something they enjoy as a measure of penance or self-discipline, and often fall back into old habits at the first Alleluia. In his new book, Give Up Worry for Lent, author Gary Zemak offers fellow worriers practical, scripture-centered advice on how to relinquish the need to control the uncontrollable, not just for Lent, but for good, and how to find peace in Christ. Check out Give Up Worry for Lent at AveMariaPress.com or look for it wherever books and ebooks are sold.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. With us today, we have David Williams, the creator of Saint Cards. And David, we had an overview of what the game's all about last segment, so I'd like to get into the weeds a bit, so to speak, with the base set and the different expansions so people have a good understanding of what's available. So let's start with the base set. What all do you get when you get a base set?
Yeah, so a base set is what we recommend to kind of start things off. It's not the only thing that you can get to get started, but it is what we recommend, and it comes in a metal tin. So if you've got little fingers that are prone to knocking things off the table and you need to have a nice case to put something up high, that's helpful. And then in the base set are 106 saints, and so that starts off your collection. And in there we've got the apostles, we've got religious women, we've got martyrs and lay people and youth, and you kind of get the starter smattery of all the different, you know, 12 different colors. We've got Dominicans and Franciscans and Carmelites and all sorts of things in there. So that's a good way to get started. You also get a Jesus card, and so at the end of the game, whoever ends up winning will gather all the treasure that's been collected at the table and put it at the feet of Jesus. And so that's an opportunity using the Jesus card, you've got a visual right there of why you're playing the game. And then you've got 48 treasure pieces. So the idea is that as you're playing the game, it works much the same as Uno, in that you're looking for matches, right? So there's a face-up card, and you've got a hand of cards that are randomly dealt to you. and you're trying to find as many matches or correlations between one of the cards in your hand and the card that's turned up. And the more matches you find, the more treasure you receive, right? And so there's rubies and sapphires and golden nuggets and diamonds and all sorts of fun things. So we find that, yeah, the young people really like it a lot to get treasure, but the adults, I think, like it even more. It's just something satisfying about playing a saint and gathering treasure. But the goal of the game is pretty simple. Your goal is to make as many matches as you can so that you can get as much treasure as possible. And then the one at the end of the game with the most treasure gathers all the treasure at the table and places it at the feet of Jesus. So you get 106 saint cards, you get a Jesus card, you get 28 treasure pieces, and also comes inside with a satin storage bag, just to add a little, one of the finer things in life, a nice satin bag, and then the storage tin and a rule book. So that's what gets you started. And then we've got, you know, expansions from there. And right. Thankfully, there's not just 106 saints. We've got room to yeah. grow there as well.
So I think one thing to interject here, being that I'm one that's familiar with customizable card games, or trading card games, is that you get everything you need in these sets. It's not like you're buying
That's
packs
right.
hoping to get the grand, you know, Padre Pio card or whatever, the super rare card.
Right.
Everything you have that you need is in these sets.
That's right. Yeah, so in the gaming marketplace, there's two types of approaches, right? You have the random sets, which you might find with a pack of baseball cards or maybe some of the other collectible games you might find at Walmart or somewhere. And you have no idea what you're getting. You know you're going to probably get a rare card plus, whatever. So you end up with a lot of duplicates. In this case, in other words, the only way to get the Apostles is by buying the base set. You can't get it any other way. And that allows for kind of an ease of mind with knowing exactly what you're buying rather than, you know, playing the sometimes can be a kind of a gimmicky game where you're trying to, you know, find something to collect. So it's not necessarily a trading card game. In other words, if you've got two of one, you can give one to another person. At the same time, you know, one of the things that the CCG environment allows for is this idea that, you know, I kind of want them all. So we, in a sense, kind of tap into that mantra of you don't want to leave any saint card behind, right? If it's available, that's a person you can get to know. So let's grab them up.
Right. Now, you have a number of expansions. I like to go through those so, again, people understand
sure.
what they can get. So the first one is the Doctors of the Church expansion.
Yes. Yeah, so there are, to date, 36 proclaimed Doctors of the Church. And a doctor is not necessarily the way that we would, you know, often think of as a doctor. We oftentimes immediately think of medicine or something like that. But it's a good way to start. The doctor is proclaimed by the church to give the church a sure pathway in terms of the writings of that individual person. So take St. Augustine as an example. He has been proclaimed the doctor of the universal church. So the church says, okay, this is a saint that wrote this material, and it's not only important for the time that he wrote it in the 4th and 5th century, but it is also important for the 6th century and beyond as well. And so it's almost in a way kind of like the church is giving us our reading list, right? If you're going to read anybody, at least to get started, these 36 saints are a great place to start. And so so we have 8 of the doctors in the base set to kind of get your collection started. And then the Doctors of the Church expansion finishes that collection up with the other 28. And there's some cool things that happen when you play a doctor in the game. When you play a doctor, you get to draw a card and decide if you want to keep it, hand it to somebody else, or put it back. So you have some added elements as well. And again, all the components that the expansions bring help to highlight the way in which these you know categories that the church gives to these saints can you know increase our level of devotion. So a doctor, as an example, when you play it in the game, allows you to recommend devotion to another saint. And that's kind of what the doctors of the church do. If you read St. Alphonsus Liguori as an example, almost every single sentence is some quote from a saint that has come before him. And all he's doing is just reinvigorating devotion to the saints and what they've written in the past. And so that's what the doctors do is they're there as those ultimate guides to keep us on the straight and narrow. And we try to make that reality come alive in the game as well to kind of reinforce those things.
Now, one thing I think we need to talk about is when someone buys an expansion, what do they do with it with the base set? Should they just mix it in with the base set, or how does that work?
Yeah, so they can do that. And we've had we have a variety of things that people like to do. So if they're an educator and they're trying to teach about a particular time period, they can remove all the Saint cards that are from the 6th through 20th century, as an example, and hyper-focus on the saints from the 1st through 5th century. Or they might load the deck with martyrs and doctors and virgins, as an example, to kind of help to reinforce those types of things. So the game is designed, if you want to make your draw stack as high as it can and mix them all together and just, leave it to randomness, that's certainly a possibility. But we find that the education components of the tool allow for the educator, the parent, or whoever is working with the game to customize it as they see fit. So if you find that you're getting too many doctors in a gameplay, you can weed a few out and maybe focus on a particular era in the church's history for that particular game. So lots of options.
So the next expansion I'd like to talk about is Holy Helpers. What cards did that expansion bring to the game?
Yeah, so there is one Holy Helper that's in the base set, and that's St. George of Lydda, the famous dragon slayer. And then the other 13 are in the Holy Helpers expansion. And the Holy Helpers, this is one of the neat sides of this project, too, is not only are we getting to know these saints, but we're also finding that with these expansions, we're, in a sense, kind of introducing some saints to people for the very first time. Like, we have, maybe we've heard of St. Barbara, or we've been to Santa Barbara, California, right? But we don't really know a lot about her. Maybe we've heard about St. Catherine of Alexandria, and St. Margaret of Antioch through the story of St. Joan of Arc, because, of course, those were two of the three saints that that appeared to her, or the voices that she heard. So we've heard of them. We don't really know a whole lot about them. And so with the Holy Helpers, historically, these 14 were invoked in times of peril, times of plague and sicknesses and all sorts of different things. So maybe we're familiar with St. Blaise of Sebaste, right? We just had the throat blessing, just a little while ago on February the 3rd. But then there's other saints that were like, okay, well, we need to get to know them. Like, St. Denis is an example. Famously, depictions of St. Denis of Paris show him holding his head in his hands with his head cut off. And legend has it that after he was beheaded, he didn't really like where he was going to be buried, and so he picked up his head and walked it to where he wanted to be buried. Well, he's the patron against headaches, and no wonder, right? He had his head cut off. But we have myriads of stories of folks that have invoked him in his intercession for folks that have migraines or just really, repetitive headaches, chronic headaches, and have found relief through his intercession. So it's not just a game, right? We're not just getting to know historical facts, but we're getting to know these saints so that we can befriend them and ask them for help. And these Holy Helpers throughout the ages have been invoked, in a sense, for medical needs more than many others. And we have a lot of modern saints that have been invoked, and I think there's a renewal that's taking place in the church where we are so interested in getting to know not just the modern saints, but also perhaps some devotions that have been left to the wayside. And so this is a way to hopefully reinvigorate the devotion to the Holy Helpers. They're power-packed and ready to come to our aid, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, those two expansions were released in 2018. We're in 2019, and you're rolling out more expansions and some different gameplay aspects. So let's start with the 2019 core set and what that consists of.
Yeah, so each year we are planning on releasing a core set that can function on its own. So if for instance, if you haven't had a chance to purchase the base set, there's a smaller price point where you can go ahead and get started with the core set, which instead of coming with 106 cards, it's cut in half to 53, but it still comes with the satin bag and jewels, and it's just a way to get started. Or if you already have the base set, you can add it. Added in. So it's kind of meant to serve two different purposes each year. And this year, the core set includes St. John Paul II, it's got St. Dominic de Guzman, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, and then 50 other Saints, including some new wild cards and so just some added components to the game that always make it, you know, fresh at every turn. So that's the 2019 course that is it will be released Easter week this year, which we're excited for.
Awesome. Now, another expansion that you're showing is the Historia expansion. What's that one all about?
Yeah. So this is one of those things where, of course, when you've got 8 years to work on something, you're developing a lot of different sides. And so the Historia cards are meant to add a kind of infuse sync cards with a core subject component that would allow a history teacher, or if you're homeschooling or whatever it may be, to kind of use as a supplement to what it is that you are currently using for history. So yeah, so this is what's going on, right? We've met the saint, right? We know some basic facts about them, but then learning about what is happening in history in the life of that saint, right, gives you context. It gives you an understanding of what it is that they went through. Perhaps comparing something that happened in the past to maybe some of today's events and making some correlations. It adds a little, you know, three-dimensional or even in some cases a four-dimensional element to your knowledge of that particular saint. So, as an example, if you are getting to know one of the ruthless, you know, Roman emperors from the third century, and you see this lineup of martyrs from the third century, you're able to make a correlation between, okay, well, these folks were martyred because of the laws or the approach that this particular emperor took. Or, you know, here's a beautiful church that was constructed at the same time that this saint lived. Or this barbarian horde was attacking this particular place whenever this saint lived. And no wonder they were in exile, right? So what you're doing is you're adding a new dimension with Historia cards that allows for you not just to get to know, you know, kind of just basic knowledge about the saint. And now what we're hoping to do with that is to add the understanding and hopefully ultimately some wisdom with what it is that they went through. Right. So for me, if, you know, you listed off a couple basic facts about me at the beginning of our time together today. Mm-hmm. But if you were to find out and look at a timeline of all the events and where I've lived and what sort of things were going on in each of those different places, you would have an opportunity to get to know me, David Williams, more, and all the more so with these saints.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned something in that reply there that I think is rather interesting, and it kind of lends some credence to how well put together this product is. You've had 8 years to work on it, so this isn't something that just popped into your mind, you created it, and now you're trying to push it out as a product. You've had time to develop, time to tweak it and make sure everything's right.
That's right. And, you know, there's just a lot of research. We don't want to just throw something out there just guessing because we checked something on, you know, a particular blog and thought, oh, well, this looks like it's verifiable, right? So mm-hmm. Each of these facts has been, you know, we have historians and hagiographers that we've worked with. We have a myriad of sourcing that we do. So we kind of, approach this like if, you know, as an example, here's a good example. The sources are mixed as to whether or not St. Benedict of Nursia was a priest or not, right? In fact, half of the sources say that he was. The other half leave that detail out, or in a sense, because there's that gap, it can leave one to wonder whether or not he was in the first place. Well, that's an interesting fact. It affects our game because we have a designation for priest in our game. Mm. And so what we often do is take the more conservative approach. So if something is not verifiable for whatever reason, we will leave it out until it can be verified. So yeah, you can see now, you know, even with just with the base set alone, I think it's got over 1500 facts in it. That each of those facts is a point of research, right? So it takes a lot of time, but thankfully we're at the point now where we can feel really good about what we're putting out there, because it's not just a game. At every single corner, we are reinforcing things that actually happen that are really true about these people.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take another quick break. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
Are you married? I'd like to suggest that you often return to the fond and true memory of your spouse when you first met and on your wedding day. Well, he or she is still that same lovable person. Perhaps life has presented many challenges you did not expect back then. but you have come through these together. And the providential fire of your tribulations and your love has forged you into the one body you are today. And that is a beautiful thing. Never let anyone or any inferior thing tear you and your spouse asunder. God is one with you. He is love. Your marriage is love. And love endures whatever comes. It does not come to an end. See 1 Corinthians 13. I'm Jim Littleton of FormingFaithfulFamilies.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, the Catholic book blogger. And with us today, we've been spending time with David Williams, the creator of Saint Cards. And we've been covering a lot of ground here, David, especially in regards to the game itself and the expansions, and there's still some more ground to cover. The next expansion I'd like to talk about is one that my friends David and Adam over at the Catholic Man Show have talked about, and that is the Stigmatist expansion. What do we get with that, and tell us about the new gameplay aspect it added to the game.
Yeah, you bet. So the Stigmatists are just mysterious, right? It is the deep devotional mystery to contemplate, why, first of all, the Lord would allow the grace of a man or a woman to share his actual wounds from the cross. And then on top of that, to have them be visible, in some cases invisible. But it is, in a sense, kind of like the ultimate sign, in a way, of someone who is conformed to Christ, in that the Lord allows for them to bear his wounds and show them to the world. And so it's a very mysterious side of the church that, albeit, frankly, the stigmatists were not a part of our very first RCIA class. but as we have grown in love for the church and love for the saints, this one, it, mysterious as it is also just such a, it's near and dear to our heart, just because a lot of the saints, yet again, are not very well known. Of course, we have Padre Pio. There's St. Catherine of Siena, who had she received a visible stigmata, then asked for the Lord to make it invisible. Of course, the most famous stigmatist, you could say, might be St. Francis of Assisi, and all the others in between. So we know, three or four of those, and a lot of those are actually in the base set. We've got six in the base set that are fairly recognizable, St. Gertrude the Great, etc. But then there is a smattering of 26 other beatified and canonized saints who have also received the stigmata, and a lot of them are folks that we need to get to know. We know St. Faustina. We might have heard of St. John of God and some of the others, but there are so many that we can get to know through this. So we're not only excited about the gameplay components of what it brings to the table, which I'll talk about here in a second, mm-hmm. but also just to spread devotion to these men and women who literally bore the wounds of Christ in their lifetime. So when you play a stigmatist, when you have the expansion, something happens. So you get to treasures normal. So when you find, let's say you play a stigmatist and you find three or four matches, you get your treasure as normal. And then the person to your left will take that same amount of treasure into their hand. Now, we have rubies in the game that are red. And so the person will take those rubies behind their back and decide, okay, so that person got four treasure, I've got four rubies behind my back, do I want to put four in one hand and none in the other, or two in one and two in the other, spread it out a little bit? And then they represent their hands closed in a fist in front of them. And then the person who plays the stigmatist gets to choose the left or the right hand. And what's neat is whenever they choose a hand that has one or several jewels in it, the jewel oftentimes will be right in the middle of a palm. So a red jewel right in the middle of a palm looks just like a stigmata, right? And right. We always say, too, that if you end up picking the hand that doesn't have one, then that's just an invisible stigmata, and you have to offer that up with no treasure, right?
Awesome.
So the game component side of it allows for you to double up on your treasure every time you play Stigmatist, which is a ton of fun.
So, again, there's additional expansions still that we haven't talked about. You have the Roman Canon expansion available this year as well.
Yeah, so the Roman canon is, so all the saints that are invoked in the first Eucharistic prayer, oftentimes we hear, whenever at Mass we hear, the Linus, Cletus, Clement, Sixtus, Cyprian, Cornelius, right, or John the Baptist, Stephen, Matthias, Barnabas, Ignatius, Marcellinus, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of these saints are said so fast, in some cases, others, a bit slower, but either way, we don't really know too many of them, right? In general, we might be familiar with Perpetua and Felicity, but who is St. Anastasia? Who is St. Marcellinus? When we say, John and Paul, which John and Paul are we talking about? And I will say that it's not St. John at the foot of the cross, and it's not St. Paul, the convert on the road to Damascus. These are two different John and Pauls. And so this is an opportunity to get to know those saints that are invoked in the first Eucharistic prayer. Or if your devotion is to the extraordinary form of the Roman Rite, those saints still fall in that prayer as well. And so when you play a Roman canon card with this expansion, if you already have maybe one, two, or three Roman canon cards in your hand, you can, even when it's not your turn, turn those cards around and show those you're playing with how many Roman canon cards you have. And for every Roman canon card you show, you get one treasure per card. So if, let's say it's a five-player game and the person across from you plays a Roman canon card, everybody at the table has the opportunity to show those cards. You may not want to show them because you're maybe saving a secret for the future, but it's also the strategy is going, okay, I've got a bunch of Roman canon cards. Do I want to hold them in my hand and wait it out to see if other people play Roman canon cards before I play them? But then you don't want to wait too long, because if you do, then someone could be out before you're done. So it adds a neat strategic component to it, but also helps to reinforce the collegiality of this special group of saints that the church invokes at the Mass.
There's another one, the 1960 calendar expansion, which is an expansion to the 2018 base set. What exactly is in there?
Yeah, so each of the cards, and this is another layer of the research that we had to do, I'll be honest and say I did not know this until I began the research, but there are many, many calendars in the church. It's not just, I know sometimes our focus is so much in the Latin Rite as Latin Rite Catholics, and we obviously have two forms in the Latin Rite, the ordinary and the extraordinary form. But then there's also the Eastern churches that are the Catholic churches, not the Eastern Orthodox churches, but the Catholic Eastern churches. And the Byzantine Rite, as an example, has its own calendar. A lot of the other Eastern churches, even though small as they are, have their own celebrations. So at the bottom left of every single card are four distinct symbols that show which calendar the feast month is celebrated on. So every saint card has a primary feast month. In this case, like if I'm holding up St. Andrew the Apostle, his feast month is in November the 30th. And some of us are very familiar with that because he kind of kicks off the Advent season each year. But then at the bottom of his card, there is a key symbol, which means that he is celebrated in November in the ordinary form of the Roman Rite. There's a cross symbol, which means he was celebrated he's celebrated November in the extraordinary form. There is a Byzantine cross, which shows that he is also celebrated in the Byzantine calendar in November. And then there is a dove, which represents all the other Eastern churches and shows that, yes, he is also celebrated in November in the Eastern church as well. So for some of these cards, they had, because, of course, we're canonizing saints like crazy, we have to occasionally reset the calendar, which took place in the late 60s in the Latin Rite. And so in some cases, you will have a saint who is celebrated, like St. Thomas Aquinas as an example. His ordinary feast is January the 28th, but then his old feast, which was celebrated historically for hundreds and hundreds of years, is March the 7th. And so in that case, for us history buffs, we want to know, okay, he's celebrated in this month now, but I want to know when he was celebrated in the past. Or if you've got a particular devotion to the extraordinary form of the Roman Rite, and that's the liturgy that you celebrate most often, then we have those feast months that we can bring into the base set. So I recommend bringing them in. Don't change them out. We always celebrate both feasts in our home. It's double the birthday parties, right? But it gives an option for those folks to kind of see it and teach their kids as well those other feast months. Hopefully that explains a little bit, because I kind of drew in the calendar aspects of it as well. But that calendar component, we talk about research, took a lot of time. And we're excited to in the future come out with some Byzantine saints and some Eastern Church saints as well to help us in the Latin Rite get to know some people that have been invoked in the Eastern churches for centuries that we, haven't had a chance to get to know yet.
Yeah, awesome stuff. So a couple of questions came about from that conversation there, and one I forgot to ask earlier. When you're changing up the draw deck, is there a set number or minimum number of cards that should be in there?
We recommend having a minimum of 53, or just right around the size of like a normal playing deck. You know, like a playing card set. I think those have 52 cards plus they have the jokers. Mm-hmm. That's probably the minimum that we would recommend. And then we've seen stacks, here at the Williams home, we've tested stacks of over 200, 250, and you know, it's always a ton of fun. And sometimes you play a game and it's, you know, maybe weighted one side or the other. Each game usually takes 10 to 15 minutes to play. So not, you know, occasionally it can go a little longer than that, but nobody's really been out of shape if somebody just runs mm-hmm. the table on a game. And of course, what we've found with our kids, especially as competitive as they can be, that it's always nice to, at the end of the game, say, all right, take the treasure, put them at the feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So everybody's reminded why we're doing this. You know, it's not just to win. If there's been a couple of tears, they're quickly reminded, oh yeah, this is for Jesus. We can offer it up. Right. So some households are pretty competitive as ours is. And, so that those components help with the game, but yeah, to answer your question, we find that a minimum of about a playing deck size starting with mm-hmm. 50, 52, 53 cards is the best way to get started.
Another thing, we've been talking a little bit, we've skirting around the edges of this, is the research that goes into this. Who all is on your team, and who are you going to solidify who you're putting in there and making sure you have the correct facts?
Yeah, so it's a group of local, you know, priests and you know, parish school religion directors of religious education. We also have a good friend, Wesley, out in the Pacific Northwest. We have Didymus of Australia down in Australia, who is a church hagiographer. So a smattering of folks, you know, all over the globe that have been kind enough to offer their pro bono services to help with this project. We don't claim at all to have a lot of extra financial resources as we're raising all these kids. But at the same time, God has sent these men and women to help with a lot of the research. And truthfully, too, you know, this has been my side project that I've devoted, you know, a good half an hour to an hour and a half to every day for the last almost decade. So a lot of that research has taken place with, you know, I mean, well over, you know, 12 different sources mm-hmm. on my own side as well. So if I showed you the spreadsheet, it's probably pretty ugly to look at, but there's a lot of data in there for sure. And we don't claim to have, you know, to have everything right. But so far, I think with the release that we had last year, there was one individual that came and asked a quick question, and we kind of provided them a little bit of the research that we had uncovered, and it seemed to appease them. So we don't claim to be the ultimate source of truth. That's Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But in terms of vetting out these facts, we've definitely spent a lot of time making sure that they are they're accurate for folks. So hopefully everybody finds it a really valuable resource in the end.
Mm-hmm. You also offer an add-on called the Heaven Hold'em expansion. What exactly is that?
Yeah, so this is a fun, you know, so here's the thing. It's somewhat controversial in some households whether or not, you know, parents should let their kids play poker or watch the World Championship Poker or whatever it may be. It's actually a very popular game in our culture, and sometimes that can be a deterrent to Catholic families, especially faithful families that are just wanting to kind of keep their kids focused on heavenly things. So what we did is, and we didn't exact copy the game by any means. I think there's copyrights and trademarks all over Texas Hold'em, but we do have our own variation of that style of play. So the Heaven Hold'em expansion comes with a game mat that has the Heaven Hold'em game on one side, and then if you flip it over, it actually has the original St. Cards game area, so you can actually have little places, distinct places to put your treasure and all that kind of thing. But the biggest component of the Heaven Hold'em expansion is it comes with a gob of treasure and a rule book, which details out how you can play St. Cards poker style, right? And we don't even use the word poker, though. We call it Heaven Hold'em, which is obviously cheeky and meant to be ironic, right? Because, mm-hmm. Of course, heaven is holding the saints. But it allows you to play just, you know, very, very similarly to a Texas Hold'em game where you've got betting going on with the jewels. You can put out the flop, and you can put out the turn and the river in the same way. And then in the end, you've got your two cards, and the person who ends up winning the hand ends up being able to find the most matches between their two cards and two of the five cards that are in the center of the table. So we say that if you are using real money, it has to be donated to Catholic charity when it's all said and done. But this is a really fun way to engage perhaps a high school audience you've got your guys' night. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you that you will have more fun playing this than you would the original poker game. Mm-hmm. It's a ton of fun. And while you're playing, you're learning a ton of things about the Saints. So it's a win-win. So we are... that's been a funny, I think somewhat humorous. I wish I had the video camera rolling at the times that we've play tested this at the home with kids. But when you see my little 6-year-old Vincent, putting his fist on the ground saying check or telling the 13-year-old that he's going to raise him, 40 points for a particular, hand. It's pretty cute. It's pretty cute. And it's all in good fun. So those games are not timed at all. Sometimes Heaven Hold'em games can take an hour. Sometimes they can just go on and on and on. But it's a blast and a good alternate way to have fun mm-hmm. with the concept.
So in our time together today, I think we've discovered you have a ton of expandability to this game, and there's a ton of more possibilities for years to come. And I imagine there's more ideas bouncing around your head or that are already in development. So can you hint at some of those with us?
Sure. So I don't think it'll get too much away, but for 2020, what we have planned for 2020 is another core set. I will not divulge any of the Saints that will be in that set. It could be, I won't say anything yet. It'll be a surprise. So that is definitely under development right now. We also have the Bilocator expansion that will be coming out, Lord willing, in 2020. And that's to highlight all the Saints that were given the grace of bilocation in their lifetime. In fact, if you already have the base set, you can see these wings on some of the Saints, like St. Martin de Porres or Padre Pio, who are bilocators. Those are there for the future. So all these expansions are already embedded in all these cards. It's just, mm-hmm. the future will reveal the fullness of them, right? And then we also have the Where Two or More Are Gathered expansion, which is to highlight those groups of Saints that were canonized, like Paul Meakin companions or Isaac Jogues, John de Brabofin companions. Any grouping of Saints that we celebrate in the church calendar will be highlighted in that. For now, I'll just share one other, which is we are developing expansions that are kind of bolt-ons, not necessarily that introduce a new component to the game, but that focus on the different religious orders that we have in the church, the Carmelites, the Dominicans, the Jesuits, the Franciscans, et cetera. So there's 12 orders that are highlighted in the game, and we'll have expansions that will just be those, Saints from those particular orders that will be included in those. So lots to come, and thankfully, from a pure business side of things, we have plenty of material to work with.
Yeah.
But the thing that we're most excited about is just, spreading devotion to these Saints. And not to mention, even if nobody bought them, my kids would beg for me to make them anyway. So I've got to do it regardless.
There you go.
It's just a matter. I have to. So that's part of the fun.
So tell us about the current special you have going on, and where can people find Saint Cards?
Yeah, so you can find Saint Cards at saintcards.com, and that's plural. If you type in saintcard.com, that'll get you there as well. But Saint Cards is the website, and there you can find some information and some references and things of that nature. But if you go to the shop, or if you want to just go straight there to saintcards.com/shop, you'll come across our big pre-order campaign that we're running right now at the beginning of 2019 that will end the Tuesday prior to Lent. So Ash Wednesday, the sale will be over and we will enter into our Lenten sacrifice period. So between now and then, head over there. We have, 25% off most of our merchandise right now, which will be the biggest, steepest discount that we'll offer all year. And hopefully will be a good, opportunity for you to pick up some for Easter or the sacrament celebrations that are coming up. Or if you need to stock up for Christmas time and you're already thinking that for next year, you can do that too. But that'll be our sale that's running through March the 6th. And then there'll be ongoing discounts that we'll offer throughout the year. But that's the big push for right now anyway.
Awesome. Well, David, I want to thank you for spending time with us today. Any closing thoughts?
Well, Pete, I just wanted to extend my thanks to you and for all that you do within your apostolate, and know that, you know, for those that are listening, you've benefited greatly from Pete and his work, and I'm just very grateful to have had the opportunity to be with you today. So thanks for those that are listening. Thanks for listening, and Pete, thanks again for all that you do.
You're welcome, and thank you for that. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger, and until next time, God bless.
Breadbox Media programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.